From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of Current Sports. I am Matt Ludke, filling in for Al Martin, still on vacation. I've got Alex Sharg with me behind the booth. We'll be talking a little bit of everything today. We've got to discuss the All-Star Game and Derek Jeter. Lord knows he was everywhere last night, including in just about every commercial break. We'll talk about the All-Star Game. We'll talk about NBA free agency. Maybe Donald Sterling not being out by the start of the season. Oh, boy. All that and more on today's Current Sports. Let's kick things off as we always do with our Current Sports Quick Hit headliners. Alex, take it away.
Happy Hump Day, sports fans. I'm Alex Sharg, and these are your Current Sports Quick Hit headliners for this Wednesday, July 16th. Starting off with the All-Star break, the American League beat the National League last night 5-3 for its 13th win in the last 17 years. Mike Trout won MVP honors, becoming the youngest player ever to win the award. Derek Jeter went 2-for-2 on the night hitting. Miguel Cabrera from the Tigers hit a two-run homer to bring in Trout and spark a three-run inning. Max Scherzer got the rare win for the American League. After Adam Wainwright gave up a double to Derek Jeter, he subsequently told reporters that he grooved the pitch to Jeter and said, quote, he deserved it. Later in an interview with Aaron Andrews, he explained that his comments were out of line and he simply misspoke.
I feel terrible about this. If anyone's taken any credit away from what Derek Jeter has done tonight or off me or anything, I mean, it was missaid. I made a mistake by that. I hope people realize I'm not intentionally giving up hits out there. I know this game means something, and I'm guessing people will think I'm trying to give up home runs to Miguel Cabrera, too.
He went on to explain that nothing should be taken away from what Jeter has done, and he did not give him any easy pitches. Jeter said later in an interview,
first one was a little cutter he threw down and away. He probably assumed I was swinging, so he didn't groove the first one. Second one was about 98 two-seamer that stayed on really good. No, I don't know, man. If he grooved it, thank you. You still got to hit it. So I appreciate it if that's what he did. Thank you.
In the NBA, the Charlotte Hornets have signed former Indiana Pacer Lance Stephenson to a three-year, $27 million deal. Stephenson turned down a five-year, $44 million offer from the Pacers earlier this week and will likely start for the Hornets beside point guard Kemba Walker. Charlotte had previously offered Gordon Hayward $63 million over 4 years, but that deal was matched by the Utah Jazz. News is surfacing that former Clippers owner Donald Sterling may not officially be out as owner by the start of the season. Commissioner Adam Silver said, quote, it's very difficult to say anything with certainty in a situation like this. I can say with certainty that we are doing everything in our power to move Donald out as owner in the NBA, end quote. Donald Sterling is legally fighting the sale of his team by wife Shelley to Microsoft CEO Steve Ballmer for $2 billion. At the governor's meeting, Silver explained that the case was pushed back and the league is waiting for the process to play out. Dwayne Wade officially re-signed with the Miami Heat yesterday, inking a two-year, $31 million contract with a player option for 2015-16. Wade, who missed 28 games last season and broke down in the NBA Finals, opted out of the final 2 years of his contract earlier this summer, leaving $42 million on the table. He'll join Chris Bosh as the Big Three becomes the Big Two with the departure of LeBron James. The Chicago Bulls have released forward Carlos Boozer using the amnesty clause 1 year before his contract was set to expire. Chicago, who were rumored to be using Boozer's expiring deal as a trade chip in the potential deal for Carmelo Anthony, will still pay the $16 million owed to the former Duke star, but it will not count against the team's salary cap number. The Bulls have replaced Boozer's productions with the signings of Paul Gasol and Nikola Mirotic, Europe's top player last season. And lastly, in some interesting NFL news, former Minnesota Vikings punter Chris Clue wants to sue the Vikings for speaking his peace of mind. Clue says the team treated him unfairly after he spoke his mind on gay marriage and says it contributed to the release from the team in 2012. The Vikings have agreed to investigate, but no word has come out as of yet. Those are your Current Sports Quick Hit headliners for this Wednesday, July 16th. time to send it back to Matt to start the show. Lines are now open.
Oh, thank you, Alex. What a well-done version of the Current Sports Quick Hit headliners. Like Alex said, the phone lines are open. Give us a call, 517-355-9527. I know we're going to start talking about the All-Star Game. Let us know what you think. Did Adam Wainwright groove to Derek Jeter? I think he did. I'll come out and say it. I think he did. Alex now joins me in the booth. Alex, you know, I'm sure you were watching last night. Did it look like he kind of just let him have one? Fastball right down the pipe?
Well, the location definitely did, because it was right down the middle. But it's not like he's doing a two-steamer at 90 miles an hour. I mean, he did throw at 98, which is still very fast for a two-steam.
It's true. It's true. But, I mean, you look at the pitches that, you know, and people are trying to argue, I was reading this earlier, that, you know, it's just a problem that he was struggling regardless. You know, he wasn't pitching well anyway. I mean, Mike Trout had a nice hit off of him. Miguel Cabrera obviously hit the home run in the first inning. But, I mean, you look at those pitches that those guys hit, they were not right down the middle. I mean, Miguel Cabrera hit a fastball that was, what, 4 inches inside the plate, and he took it yard anyway. You know why he did that? Because he's the best hitter in baseball. And Mike Trout won the All-Star Game MVP. I mean, he could be a, you know, just a regular AL MVP. Derek Jeter is not that caliber of player. So I think to compare the other at-bats in the first inning to Jeter's is just foolish. I think you're looking for something that's not there. Obviously, he regretted saying it. And you know, he's talking to Aaron Andrews. We had that nice clip in the headliners. But it just seemed like at that point he was just backpedaling, trying to get out of it, trying to unsay what he said. And obviously, that's not how things work in this day and age. I think he just threw him a meatball. And it kind of harkens back to maybe not to the degree, but kind of makes you think back to Cal Ripken Jr. in the 2001 All-Star Game when Chan Ho Park gave him a first-pitch fastball right down the middle, and he promptly hit a home run in his last All-Star Game. I mean, it just seems like the moment was there where anything less than success for Derek Jeter would be disappointing. And, you know, I guess the other big question is, do you have a problem with it if he did?
Yeah, well, there's the other side where, I've done this before in a basketball game where you have a bad pitch, guy hits a two-run double off you or does really well off your pitch. You're walking back to the dugout and you say, oh yeah, I grooved that one. Just as an insecurity kind of blanket for your poor pitch. So I think there's that side of it too, because a lot of the reporters and the social media coming out after the Wainwright pitch or the grooved pitch, a lot of the social media was saying that he was walking back to the dugout saying that. So part of me thinks, Matt, that maybe he was a little embarrassed. Maybe he just did that as a cover on why he pitched poorly as the starter of the All-Star game.
That's certainly a possibility.
So I wouldn't rule that out.
That is certainly a possibility, and that's a good point to make. I mean, it is possible that he's just trying to psych himself up and get himself back into a rhythm. I won't say groove.
And maybe when he realized that the context of his embarrassment really just knocked Derek Jeter, maybe that's when he said, oh, no, I didn't mean to knock Jeter.
Right.
I didn't groove it. It was a fair pitch. So maybe it was more of him, of his caliber, his competitiveness coming out of there.
Okay. I suppose
and that's the way I'm leaning, because as much as, yeah, it looks like he's backpedaling and the way that the interviews were laid together and Jeter's comments after.
Right.
Saying, oh, well, that 98, that looked pretty good for me. Well, the way Jeter described it after, it definitely seemed like the grooving was there. But I think, I really truly believe that he was just a little competitive.
So you think it's just his competitive nature getting the best of him?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's tough. I mean, and I guess this goes to another point where the All-Star Game matters in baseball. And of course, it was because they had that 2-2 or the, you know, whatever it was, tie way back in, I think, 2003. And Bud Selig freaked out because the whole country freaked out. How can you not have a winner in the All-Star game? So they made it mean something. But really, I mean, this is an exhibition. This is a celebration of guys who have had a great year. It's a celebration of the sport. I guess in my mind, if he did groove the pitch, I don't really care.
Yeah.
You know, it's for the fans anyway. The whole event is for the fans. So why wouldn't they want to see Derek Jeter go out hitting 2-for-2 in the All-Star game? I mean, that's something that the fans want to see. Even if you're not a Yankees fan, and that was clearly evident last night. I mean, they're in Minnesota, and people are going wild over Derek Jeter.
Yeah, I have one friend who's a diehard Mets fan and was just blasphemous about Jeter. Was just throwing eggs at the television screen. Couldn't bear to see Jeter hit well just because he was a Met killer his whole career. So I think there are some fans that were a victim of Jeter's success. It's the same if you're a Tigers fan. I mean, would you want to see Paul Konerko, Tiger Killer, go 2-for-2 in his last All-Star game? I wouldn't. Would you?
I think that's apples and oranges. Derek Jeter, I mean, he was the face of baseball for 20-something years. I mean, he has been a mainstay in the sport for as long as I can remember, certainly. I'm sure as long as you can remember. I mean, he's always been one of the biggest names in the sport, if not the biggest. So I think him retiring at the end of the season, it's sort of that end of an era. I mean, we saw it last year with Mariano Rivera. I mean, he had his farewell tour. Every stadium he went to, they gave him a gift. You know, he got a standing ovation, got to tip his cap to the crowd. I mean, it just seems like that's what you do when you have these guys. I mean, he's played for one franchise his entire career, and it is the most famous and most successful franchise in the sport. So I think, obviously, he's going to be one of the most visible. He's going to have one of the biggest legacies in the game, certainly in recent memory. So I think, you know, I feel like it's okay, even if you do hate the Yankees. And trust me, there are a lot of people who do, but are, you know, not going to, you know, use that hatred as an excuse to not at least celebrate the guy's career. I mean, it is an end of an era. So I think at the very least, you have to give him the respect for what he did. I mean, that's what the whole Jordan campaign was about, with the 2 in place of the S in respect. Commercial, every other commercial break, but, you know, and the banners behind the home plate was running that ad the entire game. But, I mean, you have to just, even if you hate him, you have to begrudgingly give him that respect. He was one of the all-time greats, one of the best players of his generation, certainly the most famous player of his generation. It just seems like, even if you hate him, you have to tip your cap.
Now, OTR, Matt, well, I guess it's not OTR since we're on the air, but
right.
If you're Adam Wainwright and you're going against Derek Jeter in his final All-Star game, and regardless if he actually grooved the pitch or not, would you be easy on Derek Jeter? Would you give him some hittable pitches? Do
yes.
you want Derek to get hits?
Yes. 100%. Yes. Why not?
Yeah.
I guess the only reason you wouldn't is because the All-Star game, quote-unquote, matters now. And that's why it's so dumb that it does. Why would you have that be decided by the All-Star game? I've hated it since they made that call, and I continue to hate it for reasons like this. I mean, even if he didn't, you know, people are going to read into it and think that he did, and it might potentially influence the World Series, which it shouldn't. It should have no bearing on the World Series. A majority of these guys aren't going to be playing in that series anyway. It just seems ludicrous to me that they would have, you know, fan-voted All-Stars decide who gets home field in the World Series, especially when things like this can happen. This is an exhibition for the fans. It should be fun. It should be a celebration of guys like Derek Jeter. What better way to celebrate the guy's legacy than to have him perform well in his last All-Star game? I'm almost surprised he didn't win the MVP just because he's Derek Jeter.
Yeah, and you know what? And since he did spark the three-run inning with leadoff double, too. But you know what, Matt? I agree with you that if I'm Adam Wainwright, I would be easy on Jeter. I personally, too, would give him some hittable pitches. It's what the fans want to see.
Exactly.
And just because the game has a win next to it and a home advantage for the series, you know, that's what's getting in the way. But what I'm worried about is with being easy on guys that it's their last All-Star game, or let's say it's the last game of the season and Jeter needs one more RBI to top of Milestone. And the same similar situation could happen. It's what the fans would want to see. But what I'm worried about is, where's the drawing line? Where does it stop? I mean, I'm sure fans want to see Miguel Cabrera hit two homers. I'm sure fans want to see Trout hit a homer. I'm sure fans want to see, you know, this pitcher and that pitcher have shutout innings in their last appearance. But since it's Derek Jeter, it's different. And I think you can agree with that, since he was the face of baseball for years. So that's what I'm concerned is, where do you draw the line?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think in terms of an all-star game, who cares? There can be no line. I mean, I don't care.
Hey, there's always a line.
I guess, but in terms of an all-star game, I could care less. Or I suppose I couldn't care less. But, you know, one of the things that this kind of reminds me of, and I want to ask you, you know, jumping off from this, people always look back to the Michael Strahan sack record when he took down Brett Favre and Favre basically just slid.
Mm.
People always put an asterisk next to that record and say, oh, it's cheap, he didn't earn it. Do you think there will be an asterisk next to this when people look back at it as Derek Jeter's last All-Star game? Do you think people go, yeah, I mean, he went 2-for-2, but Adam Wainwright threw him some meatballs. Do you think that's going to happen?
I don't think so, just because it's the All-Star game. I think the Strahan sack was different because it's an actual career Hall of Fame milestone. I mean, just the fact that Jeter made, 15, however many All-Star games, that's the only thing I can see being an asterisk. Oh, well, he made the last All-Star game because it was his last season. I could see that. But I don't see him necessarily 2-for-2 or Wainwright giving a 98-mile-an-hour two-seam down the middle as being the factor of an asterisk. I don't know if you agree, but
I do agree. Honestly, it's overblown anyway. You know, I think the people freaking out about it need to take a chill pill, and the people who aren't freaking out about it have it right, because it honestly doesn't matter.
Mm.
Like, it's an All-Star game. It's a good story. You know, Derek Jeter goes out on top in the All-Star game, rides off into the sunset. I am really surprised he didn't win MVP, though.
Yeah.
I know Trout played really well, and, you know, he had the triple, and what was he, the first time to get two extra base hits or something? He's a great player, but he's going to be there again.
Mm.
I thought, you know, and maybe it would have been too much, too over the top, if they give it to Derek Jeter. Because, yeah, I mean, he had the double, but then what? He blooped a single in his second at bat. So it wasn't like he was overwhelmingly great.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing, that the first inning throw on McCutchen.
Oh.
He was late.
Yeah, he was.
He was safe, but, you know, you'd think in an All-Star game, if it didn't matter, maybe they just give him the out.
Mm.
You know, it's Derek Jeter, for crying out loud.
Yeah. Now, stemming off the All-Star game, that was a very interesting first discussion on this Barbershop Wednesday, but there are two other topics I'd like to discuss.
Okay.
One is, just real quickly, guys filling in reserves, taking the place of injured players or guys that were traded like Samardzija. First guy is Luke Roy out of Milwaukee. I mean, how about a guy who comes in, doesn't get the fan vote, replaces Yadier Molina, has a crucial RBI to tie the game. I mean, and then you're looking at other guys taking places of Samardzija. I mean, everyone that filled in the roles played very well. So I just want to just put a little nugget in there for that. But second, Matt, are the commercials for the All-Star game. And you chuckle a little bit, but I thought the commercials this year were very entertaining compared to past years. I thought that the Trout commercials are great. I thought the Jeter commercials, him being in every one, was entertaining. What were your thoughts on some of these ads?
You know, it's weird. It's kind of becoming, you know, baseball Super Bowl.
And I was going to actually say that in a second. It was almost, it reminded me of a Super Bowl.
And it makes sense. I mean, people watch it. It's in the middle of the summer. There's nothing else to compete with it. I enjoyed the Trout commercials. The Jeter commercials were a little over the top, but I understand where they're coming from. You know, he's a legend. He's a great player. He's 40 years old. Give him a little respect. And that's basically what they were saying. I mean, Michael Jordan as the last guy, and I know that's his brand, but it was pretty funny. Seeing it all the time, it wore itself out a little bit. But overall, I thought it was a well-done ad. I think, let's say you see that, in a Super Bowl or something where it only plays once, I think that's an effective commercial. But, you know, just kind of the repetition, and it just kind of wore out its welcome for me. Callers, let us know what you think about anything with the All-Star game, anything with Derek Jeter, Adam Wainwright, any of it. 517-355-9527. Alex, let's take our first break. We'll come back. We'll talk about NBA free agency, get to maybe a little Donald Sterling. Who knows? Stay tuned. More current sports after this. Welcome back to Current Sports. It is Worldwide Wednesday. Alex is playing some world music. Alex, do you know where that's from?
That is actually the song Tempted to Touch. I don't know the exact origin of that, but
okay,
somewhere south of here.
That's it. You know what? As long as we give them the general direction as to where it's from, that's enough.
Okay. And this is Michigan, just to clarify.
It could be Indiana. Who knows? Who knows? Okay. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Matt Ludke. Again, Alex Sharg is with me in the booth. Give us a call if you want to talk about anything going on in the sports world. 517-355-9527. And Alex, one more little tidbit about the All-Star game. I just want to ask you a question. Do you think this is the best All-Star game in professional sports?
That's tough. I don't know if this All-Star game is the best because of the length. It's lengthy. I mean, you're getting guys subbing in and out every batter you get a new pitcher sometimes. So
right.
I think that if it was shorter, it would be. I think that the Home Run Derby is like the greatest additional spectacle to an All-Star break. But I don't think it's the best All-Star game, I hate to say.
What would you choose over baseball?
I think that just because of the length, I would probably choose hockey.
Really?
Yeah. I think that in hockey, it's, I mean, you're seeing in baseball and basketball, it just doesn't look like they, yeah, I mean, now baseball, they care a little bit more, but for basketball, it's more of a highlight reel. And for baseball, it just kind of goes too slow. I think hockey has the most even pace. I think that hockey, the guys are still grinding. I think it just looks a little bit just more entertaining.
Okay. I can see that.
What do you think?
Well, you know what? I actually want to open this up to callers, too. You know, give us a call, 517-355-9527. How would you rank All-Star games in professional sports? Because, Alex, you forgot to mention football, and I think I know why. Because the Pro Bowl is easily the worst, by far, the worst All-Star game in professional sports. I don't think anybody watches it. I don't think the players who play in it care about it. It's just another opportunity for guys to get hurt.
It's a free trip.
It is a free trip to Hawaii. That's true. But that's about the only perk of the whole thing. I almost would rather see them play, like, flag football and just have it go crazy. I think, actually, I do think baseball might be the best one. And I know I railed on it for mattering.
Matt, you can stick through the length of that?
Yes.
It's so long.
I guess the reason I like the baseball All-Star game is because it's, you know, I know it's still a team sport, but it's a little bit more catered to individual greatness or individual skill, or, you know, you don't have to have that chemistry built up over months to play at the highest level in baseball. I mean, you're still just one batter going up against one pitcher. And I know, obviously, you know, fielding and stuff like that, you do need that chemistry, but that's only one aspect of the game. Whereas, I mean, basketball is just a free-for-all. Nobody's playing defense in that. Hockey, I think, made a move up to number two. That's going to be my number two because I love the idea of them having captains and the captains picking the teams. I love that. I would rather they did that in every sport. Just have a schoolyard pick.
Yeah, well, they did it for the Home Run Derby.
Right,
and that's fine.
But for the whole All-Star game, I want a schoolyard pick. But it'd just be fun to watch these guys pick their peers.
Yeah, but
It's almost a little test to see what they think of each other.
Yeah, but Matt, there's a reason why hockey is the lowest in ratings.
It's because
the fans
don't hockey anyway.
But it's because the fans don't choose it. And I think that's a big thing when it comes to baseball, is that the reason the ratings are so high is because literally it's all the fans vote, even the last spot.
Well, I'm okay with fans voting for the guys who make the All-Star game. I would like to see the players split up the teams. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have a pool of 50 guys who make the All-Star team. You know, whatever. You can still do 25 and 25 from each league. But after that, schoolyard pick 'em.
Yeah, but I think that's important to stay in the league.
Well, now
it's,
it is.
It's all about repping your
now
league.
Now it is because, you know,
if it matters.
Because it matters. But if you take that away, I just feel like, wouldn't that be more fun?
It'd be fun. But I still think that it gets a little testy. I mean, there are some players that play with some of the same guys in other leagues. You see trades happening because some players don't want to be in the same leagues as some other guys. You don't want to see that team once. So,
I mean,
you don't want to see too much roughing.
I guess. I don't know. I like the idea. And I guess you're right, because in hockey, you know, you have teammates who are potentially playing against each other who aren't really going to go at it because they don't want their teammate to get hurt. And that certainly plays a role. But I think in baseball, why would you have to worry about that at all? Other than maybe like sliding into second base or something. What is the harm there? And I know it can happen because, you know, the All-Star game means something in baseball because they had to make it mean something. But it just seems like, have a schoolyard pick. You could televise that. I guarantee people would watch it. Have that 2 hours before the home run derby. They could stretch that easily into 2 hours. You could have the Baseball Tonight guys talking about how the teams break down after. Oh, did Cabrera pick a good pitching staff?
Yeah, but you don't think there's going to be criticism of a pick'em and an aircast and another?
Oh, I'm sure there'll be criticism.
Multiple decisions.
But I'm sure there will be good ratings for it, too.
You think it would get better ratings than LeBron's decision?
No. I think it would get better ratings than the hockey pick'em. I just think it would just add another element, a little extra fun for the fans. It would shake things up, and even if it didn't matter anymore, it would still be fun to see what these guys think of each other. Who would be the number one pick? If Cabrera is the captain, would he take Mike Trout?
Yeah, I feel like that would start a frenzy at the same time, too, because maybe Cabrera likes another guy, although Trout's the better player on paper.
Right, maybe
he's also
Scherzer.
A competitor.
Maybe he takes Scherzer because he's, you know, his teammate in Detroit.
Yeah, but you also saw that in the Derby where you saw Cespedes and Donaldson,
that's true.
On the same team, and you could argue that was somewhat.
I guess.
Well,
I
guess Tulowitzki was the.
Right.
Well, and Bautista was the
right
AL captain, so.
Still.
Well, Tulowitzki did take Morneau. Which
he
makes
did.
Sense.
He did.
He had a nice backup there, considering it was Morneau's former field.
So. Right. Okay. Let's move off the All-Star game for a second. Let's go into NBA free agency. I guess the biggest story for a guy changing teams, Lance Stephenson. Crazy Lance. From blowing in LeBron's ear to playing for the Charlotte Hornets.
Matt, I love this.
He signs a 3-year, $27 million deal. Alex loves it. I'm kind of wondering why he didn't sign the 5-year, $44 million deal that the Pacers gave him earlier this week.
Maybe he thinks the Hornets are just going to be good.
It's certainly
possible. Coming back, we were talking.
Yeah.
Teams that can compete with the Cleveland Cavaliers, the Hornets are a good one.
They are.
I'd argue that I think that with the fault of the Pacers in the second half, I'd say that the Hornets are a heavier favorite than the Pacers are right now.
I could see that too. And Lance, for all his antics, he's a solid player. He's a really good young player. He's only 23 years old. He's got a bright future ahead of him if he can keep his head on straight. But that's the big thing. Can he behave away from Indiana, where even though there have been reports of some unrest regarding his position on the team, he still has Larry Bird as his head honcho, kind of, you know, keeping things in line, telling guys what to do, running the show. And while he does go to Michael Jordan now in Charlotte, 43 wins is, you know, kind of the high watermark for Michael Jordan as an owner.
Now, if you're an Indiana Pacers fan, considering his antics and his role on the Pacers, are you happy that he's gone? Or are you more upset that he spurned the team?
I'm a little relieved, I won't lie. I'd definitely be relieved because you don't have to deal with that circus anymore.
Yeah.
And maybe the other guys will pick up their level of play with him gone. But he was a really productive player. Mm-hmm. And they signed C.J. Miles to replace him. C.J. Miles is not as good as Lance Stephenson.
Well,
he's older.
Maybe they're doing Moneyball.
Maybe. I don't know, though. I mean, I just feel like if you're Indiana, out of Paul George, you really don't have anyone who threatens other teams at guard. I mean, George Hill is an okay player. He's not a great player. C.J. Miles is an okay player. But you got to have good guard play if you want to win.
Well,
and I know they're great defensively because of their front line, but you need some guards who can put some fear in people.
Yeah. Well, I think that George Hill will step up this year and take a role. I mean, if they're not shuffling any more cards with Hill and Miles, you figure that Hill being young and improving the way he is, I think he's the guy that can probably be more of a threat this year compared to Miles.
I think if you're a Pacers fan, that's what you're hoping. But I don't see it happening. I really don't. I think they lose a bright young talent, even with all the Rocky stuff, running into Miami's huddle in the playoffs and doing all sorts of stuff that really you just shouldn't do. As a professional basketball player, you got to be better than that. But he was still an important part of that team. And honestly, it kind of looks like Indiana's going to take a step back. So you look at the contenders in the East, and it's a big, sea change almost. Everything's in flux in the Eastern Conference. I mean, obviously you have Chicago, who is still going to be there and probably move up a couple levels because they've been making moves. I know they didn't get, Carmelo Anthony, but you look at the moves they made. They released Carlos Boozer, and that's another thing we talked about in the headliners. Use that amnesty deal. He doesn't count against their salary cap number. They had to do it. It's been on the table for a while. I think they were waiting to see if they could potentially get Carmelo. Since they didn't, they said, okay, we'll cut bait. Let's eliminate almost $17 million off of our salary cap number. They bring in Doug McDermott from Creighton.
Your boy.
My boy. Really, everybody's boy. He should be everybody's boy. He's a good player.
He's not my boy.
Went to Creighton. He looks like young Wally Szczerbiak. That's what everybody's that's what everybody's comparing him to. So you have Dougie McBuckets. You have Pau Gasol. I mean, you want to talk about big men who can pass. You have him and Joakim Noah. I mean, you might as well just run the offense through your bigs. They might be the assist leaders on the team. I mean, that's a dangerous pairing in the front court. You still have Taj Gibson. You bring over Nikola Mirotic, who was Europe's top player. He won the MVP as the best player in Europe last year.
Now, hold on. We've seen the MVPs come
over. Well, yeah, okay, but it's not Gigi Datome. It's not the MVP of the Italian League. He's the MVP of an actual quality league.
Well, the Italian League, hey, don't knock on Liga. The Italian League is very good.
Okay.
But the point is, we don't know how he'll translate yet.
Right.
Can't count on him as a fill-in, just like you can't count on Miles and Hill replacing Stephenson.
That's true. But I still think, even if he is an unknown quantity, which I will grant you he is, because we've gotten excited about a lot of European prospects who don't pan out, and we've kind of ho-hummed a lot of European prospects who do pan out, like, I don't know, Tony Parker. So, that is an unknown quantity, but you still are bringing in a little bit more than a lot of the other teams in the East, and with Indiana taking a step back, Miami is certainly going to take a step back, at least a small one. I mean, you lose the best player in the world. It looks like it's Chicago's conference to lose, and maybe Cleveland bumps up to even top two, top three teams in the East. I think it's going to be a tremendous shuffling of the deck this season, and even going forward, it's going to be really interesting to see the balance of power shift in the Eastern Conference. I mean, it has been Miami's conference to lose for 4 years running, and they never lost it. But now there is just a vacuum at the top. Who is going to take that top spot? And, whoever comes out of the East, I mean, if you're an Eastern Conference team right now, you got to be feeling good like, hey, we got a shot at the finals. If you're any of the top four teams, which I would say are the Bulls, the Cavs, probably still the Pacers are up there just because they're so good defensively, and maybe the Wizards.
Hornets
at five. I mean, there's some quality teams there, and if you're any of those teams, you got to think, hey, we got a shot to go to the NBA Finals, and if you get to the Finals, anything can happen.
Yeah, well, the Bulls, yeah, they get your boy. They add Gasol. But the Bulls have still so many improving results because of Derrick Rose.
Right, and we didn't even mention him. They also get, I don't know, the 2009 MVP of the league back. So...
But they also lost some players. So, at the same time, yeah, you get Rose back. But I thought that if they got Melo, the Bulls, then I think it would be theirs to lose. But
oh,
I don't...
If they got Melo, they would be the favorites regardless of conference. I really believe that.
But I don't think that the Bulls have enough firepower like the Cavs. I'd even say like the Hornets or Wizards, even. I would argue that those teams are better than the Bulls, too. But
really? Really?
Yeah, I mean...
The Wizards are better than the Bulls?
Could be.
I know they just beat them in the playoffs last year, but...
The point is, I don't think the Bulls are the... Besides the Cavs, I don't think that the Bulls are the number two.
Okay. Well, we'll see how that plays out next year.
Yeah, we'll see.
Because I think they're sitting pretty right now, itching for that season to start. Because they've got a shot. And hey, don't look now. Maybe the Pistons can make a few moves here. Who knows? Mm. Now Miami, even though they're gonna fall a little bit, they did stop the bleeding. I mean, they did well, all things considered. I mean, you lose LeBron James, but it's still not a complete failure because you sign Luol Deng, you get Josh McRoberts, who I know, you know, he's Josh McRoberts, but, you know, you get Danny Granger, who is aging but can still be an effective player in spots. You bring back Chris Bosh for big-time money. He's the top dog. And then they also bring back Dwayne Wade. Now, yeah. Alex, he signs a 2-year, $31 million deal. If you are the Heat, would you pay him that?
If I was the Heat, I would not, just because of last year alone. But I see why, because LeBron is gone. Wade's getting way more touches, way more shots. His stats will go way up since it's now back to his team, I'd say. So, yeah, I would say that I can understand why they did, but it doesn't make sense looking at last year.
Right. I don't think I would either. You know, like you said, he broke down in the finals even though they rested him for almost 30 games. You know, that's just unreliable. And he's not getting any younger. He's had knee problems for the better part of a decade.
Yeah, he does have knee problems. But for the people who say that he's old, he can't do much, I mean, that's not true. Even when he came back, he was still flying. He still has hops. I mean, it's not like the Wade of the 2003 or his first 2 years is gone. I mean, he can still produce.
He can still produce, for sure.
And I'm sure they have a chip on their shoulder because they're going to be looking to prove that even without LeBron, that the big three model can still work with him, Bosh, and maybe Granger.
Granger or Deng?
Or Deng.
I don't know. I certainly wouldn't be giving $50 million. Yeah. Now, I think the other thing about this is it's one of those Kobe deals. Or you thank him for his service with the organization. Throw in a little extra money. And not to mention, you know, he opted out of his deal. He could be making $20 million next year instead of 15. Mm. So I guess there's some of that too. You know, like a little wink-wink, like, we'll take care of you. Still, though, if I'm any other team in the league, I am not paying Dwayne Wade more than $10 million a year. No way. He's just too unreliable. You don't know if he's going to be healthy at the end of the year. And that's the only reason you would want him on your team. So I think, you know, they're definitely paying him above market value, for sure. But there are those strings that come with he has been the face of the franchise since he was drafted for, 11 years now.
No, and he's great.
He is great. He's a great player. No doubt about it.
The only negative about it is if you do pay him $10 million, don't pay him more, there's always the comparison to other players. And there are several players that make $10 million. That Wade has way better stats than still, even though his age is
that's
limited.
True. But I mean, for every time you have one of those, you also have a Dirk Nowitzki, where he gets paid $10 million. He's the third highest player on the team. He's by far the best player still, even though he's, what, 35, 36? I mean, he is also a 7-footer who shoots threes and has an unstoppable fadeaway jumper. I mean, he's not going to break down to the degree that Wade is, I don't think. I mean, his game is definitely, you know, tailored more towards, you know, aging out gracefully. So I think, you know, you have a guy like that who, even with all the goodwill he's earned from the organization, is still willing to take less money for the good of the team. And then you have guys like Kobe and Dwayne Wade. It's just an interesting school of thought, or schools of thought, rather, where one is, you know, you take care of the organization by trying to build a better team and take less money, or the organization thanks you for your previous service and pays you a little more than you're worth, maybe. So I think it's an interesting dichotomy in the NBA. I think the Mavs are definitely better off than the Heat are, but we'll see how things shake out. I mean, they're also in the West. I would probably give the Heat better odds of making the playoffs than the Mavs, but it's interesting how that works. It's a case-by-case basis for sure.
Yeah.
And maybe Mark Cuban threw in some of those Shark Tank residuals to Dirk Nowitzki's contract. Who knows? Who knows? Okay, let's take our second break. Alex, play us out here. Ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned. More current sports after this.
On the next Fresh Air, Boko Haram, the Islamist militant group which kidnapped more than 260 girls from a school in northern Nigeria. We talk with Alex Perry, who wrote the Newsweek cover story about the group and has written a new book called The Hunt for Boko Haram. We'll talk about the group's founder, its current leader, and how it tries to justify the atrocities it's committed. Join us.
That's Fresh Air coming up at 3 p.m. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Matt Ludke, filling in for Al Martin, who is on vacation. Alex Shark joins me in the booth. Give us a call if you'd like to talk about anything on your mind. You know what? Honestly, it doesn't even have to be sports-related. Just give us a call. 517.
It could be something Gaelic, like that song.
3-5. It could be. Maybe you have a limerick for us. Who knows? That'd be fun. Alex is getting lonely in the booth, people. Give him a call. 517-355-9527. And Alex, I was thinking about this last night, you know, after the All-Star game ended, you know, I'm sitting on the couch, getting a little bored. I think, wow, usually I have something to do. It's, you know, it's mid-July, you know, a Tuesday in the middle of July. Usually I'm doing something and it's something that carries me through the rest of summer. And then it clicked. Oh my gosh. NCAA football should be out. By EA Sports.
Mm.
July 15th?
Yeah.
That baby hits the shelves. I'm firing that up on the Xbox, and I'm doing literally nothing for the rest of the summer. It could be 80 degrees and beautiful outside, and I will be cooped up with my dynasty until the wee hours of the morning. Thank you, Ed O'Bannon, and the lawsuit against the NCAA and EA Sports. That game is gone.
Too bad.
It got me thinking, it's hard to believe that we are already at this point. We're already at the All-Star break for the Major League Baseball. You know, we're already, I don't want to say it, but we're what, 2 weeks away from Sal Palantonio and Ed Werder reporting from training camp?
Yeah.
I mean, summer's almost over.
Reporting from Browns training camp.
Browns, exactly. Forget the Jets. It's all about the Browns. Johnny Football, baby. They're going to have, you know, minute-by-minute reports on what he's eating at team lunch and who he's sitting with and how guys are getting along with him. And
the Cleveland bars, where he's going.
Yeah, we're
going
to hear a lot about Brian Hoyer, too. A lot about Brian Hoyer, more than we have probably in his entire career.
Yeah, and we'll debate that, too, here on whether that's – or if you're Brian Hoyer, would you want to be traded from a team like that? Would you stay where you are? We'll debate it when it gets closer.
I guess.
We'll have to see what Hoyer says.
But just a sneak peek – I would stay. There's no guarantee that Johnny Football is going to pan out. You know, plus he stuck it out with Tom Brady forever. Mm. Everybody knew Tom Brady was going to be Tom Brady.
Yeah, but everyone also knew Tom Brady was coming up to his end years.
Right.
He was also an amazing mentor, I'm sure.
That's true. That is certainly true. And, you know, Brian Hoyer's a quality quarterback. I really think so. If he doesn't get hurt last year, maybe the Browns fight for a playoff spot. I know that's crazy.
Man.
I know that's crazy. It is Cleveland.
Come on.
It is. I didn't say they'd win the Super Bowl. I said they'd fight for a playoff spot.
But the Browns had more holes than the Pistons had last year.
Ooh, that is a great debate. That might be next week's Barbershop Wednesday. But I was thinking about how crazy it is that it's already, you know, the middle of July. We're counting down the days of summer. It's almost over. And not actual summer, you know, not like solstice summer, but, you know, for all intents and purposes, summer's almost over. I mean, AOP's almost done. Kids are getting ready to come back to school almost. I'm sure the back-to-school sales are already starting. Mm-hmm. But it really got me thinking, as a guy who, you know, I enjoy baseball, but it's certainly not my favorite sport. I think the World Cup was summer's saving grace for the casual sports fan. That was a month-long frenzy where it's just about all anybody talked about. I think between the World Cup and NBA free agency, with all the drama with LeBron and Carmelo and all that stuff, daily reports, I think this has been one of the fastest summers in recent memory, and it certainly seems like it's been one of the easiest summers if you are one of the people out there who doesn't enjoy seeing 10 hours of baseball highlights every day on any sports channel.
Heck of an argument.
There's been a lot of things going on. Just a ton. It's crazy to me. Give us a call, 517-355-9527. Now, Alex, if you were, you know, a sports czar.
Who says I'm not?
Who says you're not? Maybe in the future you will be. Would you try and schedule something else for that you know, usual lull between
summer?
The end of the NBA and NHL playoffs and, you know, the start of NFL season? Because I feel like this year, even more so than the Olympics 2 years ago, it was just a good time to be a sports fan.
Mm-hmm.
And late June, early July doesn't usually cut it. It's usually just a one-trick pony. I mean, the hot dog contest this year got lost in the shuffle because people were talking so much about NBA free agency and the World Cup.
That's a good point. I'm glad you brought this up. I think that with golf and tennis evolving, I think those can fill the void.
Okay.
For now. I mean, when was the last time you heard other names besides Federer and Nadal? Now you got Djokovic the last 2-3 years. Andy Murray. I mean, you're talking about the Williams sisters. Now they've got tons of competition. So I'd say that now we're talking about Cheyenne Woods and Mo Martin for women's golf.
Michelle Wee coming back.
Michelle Wee.
Winning a major.
We need to not add anything else because I think that if we do, it's just going to be constant overload.
Too much?
I mean, you'll be hearing Johnny Football won't even be talked about in July.
Is that a bad thing? You say that like it's a bad thing.
Yeah, but
I don't want to hear about him partying with Justin
me
Bieber.
Me too, but it sells.
That sells. That's true.
And people like it. It's popular. It's the same reason why people like tuning into the same show once a week. You may like tuning into current sports once a day.
What's
so
up?
I think that with golf and tennis evolving and soccer, who knows? Maybe soccer, maybe FIFA will be really big, bigger than it has been the last 5 years next year. So I think that there are other sports to hold the gap.
Okay.
Do you think there needs to be something?
Well, I don't know. I guess it just felt so, it was so refreshing this year in particular to have things going on that weren't just early season baseball games. You know, because, you know, every top 10 countdown of plays of the day or week or month, it was just, you know, the same five basic baseball plays over and over and over again. And they're no doubt impressive. I'm not questioning that or calling that, you know, into question at all. I'm just saying it was nice to have a little variety. Have some soccer. And you know what? We'll have it next year, too, because we've got the Women's World Cup.
Yeah.
And I think people are going to go crazy over the Women's World Cup. I really do.
Yeah.
I mean, it's in Canada. Vancouver is the host city. The U.S. is, you know, the favorite to win it. I think, you know, this year's men's effort is maybe going to snowball into next year's women's effort. And I think people are going to go just as gaga over soccer as they did this year. And I think that's a good thing for the sports landscape, even a good thing for baseball. Because there is a little bit of a burned out feeling in baseball sometimes when it gets to those dog days of August, and that's all we've seen for 2 months is just baseball and the occasional golf clip or NASCAR race or something like that. I think having that little variety is good for everybody.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I think that the World Cup will be big again next year. But at the same time, I feel that if there was another spectacle. If tennis or golf or
baseball, you know what? Our hot dog eating interview by his guest,
yeah,
Major League Eating is going to take that mantle.
It will take the biggest human spectacle by storm.
The greatest competitive achievement in the history of mankind. I cannot get that out of my head. It is so funny.
Yeah.
But it's kind of true. Having done that hot dog eating contest, you can't really doubt it.
But yeah, continue. I mean, you're right. But the fact that most top plays are highlighted by baseball and there isn't variety in, you're just saying baseball, 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 Reynolds, you know, it is annoying. But I think that as much as you'd add another spectacle, I mean, you're going to see those sports like golf and tennis just kind of shoved away in an aspect.
So you think it will be a detriment to the other?
Absolutely.
I don't want to say fringe, but, you know, not the quote-unquote four major sports?
Exactly.
I can see that. I guess if I was running a program on ESPN or Fox or what have you, that'd probably be cut from my lineup too. I guess you're right. But still, it's just nice to have something going on that isn't just baseball.
Mm-hmm. And there will always be Tigers discussion.
There will.
Always.
It's not going to go away.
And we talked about it yesterday. If you want to get into it right now, Matt, because didn't finish it yesterday. We have 8 minutes. What do the Tigers really need right now?
What do the Tigers really need? Well, callers at home, if you have an idea of what they really need, give us a call. 517-355-9527. Really, I guess in my estimation, I would say they need a clean bill of health.
Because yesterday you were talking about that they need the bullpen to be back.
They do.
And they always need a bullpen. But you always hear that because most experts and writers say, well, every team needs someone for the bullpen. There's always a need for relief pitching, which I don't really see as valid. I think that you either have relief or you don't. I don't really see the argument that most teams just don't have good relief pitching. If that's the case, then why hasn't there been any good relief pitching ever?
Right. Honestly, if I'm a pitching prospect, I would kind of like being a relief pitcher. That's fun.
Would you? I don't know.
I think I would. I really do.
Way more pressure, though.
Oh, way more pressure, but, you know, you at least get to play every day or every other day or something close to that. I guess it's more pressure, but I kind of like the idea of being a specialist, having one job to do. Strike people out.
So if you're a lefty, if you're a low lefty, that's the most ideal.
Oh, yeah. And you can get paid big bucks if you're a quality left-handed reliever. I mean, that's a solid career right there, and you have to pitch one inning every game. I mean, you're not regarded as the ace. You might be the closer. You might be the setup man. Who knows? But you have a role to fill, and that's it. You're not asked to carry the team. You're asked to come in certain situations and do your job. I think, if anything, it's a sweet gig. I would prefer being in the bullpen. Plus, you get to pal around for most of the game, eat sunflower seeds, chew bubble gum, do whatever they do back there.
Yeah, but, Matt, there's a greater impact if you come in the game, you pitch an inning.
Right.
You got bases loaded. You give up a walk. Or you give up...
If the bases are already loaded...
If you give up one ground ball, and right. And even if it's a double play, you know, you're still hamped on.
That's true.
When you come in, you're expected to pop
dominate.
Out or strike out.
Right. And I can see that. There are certainly expectations to it that, you know, if a starting pitcher has a rough outing, it's okay. You know, he's not going to be ran out of town.
Yeah.
It's not going to be Jose Valverde.
You have more chances to prove yourself. I mean, remember Joe Nathan... He already had as many blown saves as he did last year.
At what, 16 games?
16 games.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's another example. I mean, is that enough to prove yourself? Only pitch, what, that's 5 innings worth?
Yeah.
Four innings, five innings?
It is a very small sample size, and it is a highly scrutinized position. I would just still enjoy it.
Yeah, well, I heard one argument that the Tigers need... Instead of acquiring someone, the Tigers need Avila to be a better hitter. And I think it's absolutely bogus because the rest of Tigers' hitting has been great.
Right.
If not spectacular. I mean, leading everything, first, on base, runs. I mean, they're the top of the American League in hitting. So for anyone that says that Avila needs to hit better, give me a break. That's like saying that Dwayne Wade needs to play better with LeBron.
Right. Well, yeah, I guess it's just like they already do one thing better than the entire league. Why would they have to do that even better? Why wouldn't you try and address one of the weaknesses?
Shane Battier, you need a hit of three.
Right.
More.
Right.
You know, come on.
Yeah, the sixth option. You know, I get what you're saying. I guess, you know, obviously people are going to gravitate towards the bullpen because that's cost them in the playoffs the last few seasons. But honestly, I just think they need to get healthy. I mean, let's say everyone is healthy. That includes, you know, Cabrera and his nagging injuries, which, you know, obviously
it hasn't affected him, though.
He's still doing amazing things. But think about it, if he wasn't hurt at all, he was just pain-free. I mean, who knows? He might be, you know, still even more dominant than he already is. You have a healthy Justin Verlander. Maybe he gets closer to the form we know he's capable of.
Right, but does he have an injury?
Cabrera hinted at it.
About Verlander?
Oh, yeah. And he said that's why he's been struggling this season.
Mm.
So, you know, if JV's 100%, if Jose Iglesias is 100%.
But, you know, he was injured, but he's out for the year.
Right.
You know?
But I'm saying,
I'll give you V-Mart.
He comes back. I mean, if they have a clean bill of health, everyone is healthy, and I do think Iglesias matters, because if he's healthy, then maybe that opens things up for making a trade.
Mm.
You know, you have another piece that is a quality player. Plus, you have the best fielder on the team back in action at the most important position in the field. So I think, you know, that's, you know, double bonus there. So I think a clean bill of health would do the Tigers wonders. They're an aging roster anyway. You know, you don't have Torii Hunter dealing with the nagging injuries. You know, he's getting up there.
Thank goodness, though. I mean,
do you think Torii Hunter is going to have a Derek Jeter-esque farewell tour when he decides to retire?
Absolutely.
I think he deserves it,
yeah.
Too. You know, he doesn't have quite the career that Jeter does. You know, Jeter did play in New York, played for the Yankees, put on the pinstripes. But Torii Hunter's been a great player forever.
He may not be the face of baseball, but he's the face of center field.
I agree. You know what? Let's look for that next year when, gosh, Jeff Samardzija. Nope, he's not in the NL anymore.
No.
Oh, gosh. Well, hopefully Matt Harvey comes back from injury. Next year in the All-Star game, Matt Harvey throws Torii Hunter a meatball down the center.
Yep.
And Torii takes him yard.
Yeah.
That's what I'll be looking for. Okay, thank you for joining us for Current Sports. Oh, Alex Sharg, thank you for working behind the glass with me. I am Matt Ludke, filling in for Al Martin. We will be back tomorrow, same time, same place. Hopefully we'll have Dan Kilbridge to join us, talk about everything MSU. Until then, have a safe and happy evening. Thanks for listening, everybody.